Hey loves, like you, I desire an abundant life and its lifestyle, and to continue to show up as my best version of self, where we win in life to reclaim, rediscover, redesign an authentic and genuine self. And yes, this is intimacy on a whole new level. Welcome. Join us at claritywithsue.com. Again, that's claritywithsue.com. Welcome to the good life. Again, I keep wanting to say welcome to the jungle, but it's Sueville Jungle. Welcome, everybody. Hi, Benny.
Hi. So is that you're going to be your Halloween outfit then?
Sue of the jungle? The jungle. Oh, okay.
Sue of the jungle.
You're talking about the proverbial Halloween costume.
Yeah.
AKA
it's coming up,
Benny. I know. You plan all year for this, babe.
And what have I done? And what have I done this year? Nothing. Zero.
Oh, I thought you were.
I told you that I usually go under a lot of pressure within a month to go, and I can lock it in, and then I just go for it.
And then done.
Yeah.
Just the pressure. I love it. Well, welcome, you guys. Yes, it was the Gratitude Cafe. Now it is Clarity with Sue. Just a little switch of branding. Same love, same person, same great conversations. Still looking to help you reclaim, rediscover that authentic and genuine self. And it's new thoughts, new perspective, new ideas. Welcome, everybody. I love you guys for tuning in. Thank you so much. If you are tuning in live on Terrestrial Radio, welcome. If you'd like, you can join us and see us messing around on YouTube and all the social media platforms. All you got to do is go to YouTube and go to 1150 AM or it's Twitter and also Facebook. Is that correct, Benny?
Correct. Yes. Sure. Pretty much the major platforms.
All the major platforms. We're covering it all. Mm-hmm. And if you happen to miss the show.
How dare you?
How dare you miss
first
the live
off, right?
show? But yeah. I get it. If you do, you do. I know things happen. Life happens. All you got to do is go to claritywithsue.com and sign up for the newsletter, and we'll get you all the special links. Sometimes we have some free goodies. Not sometimes. There's quite a bit of free stuff that happens in the newsletter. So sign up for the newsletter, and we will give you some love that way as well. So I have an amazing guest today. I'm super excited. He's actually joined the family of 1150 a few times, and we're going to have him back. He's looking around going, who, what? I know in the radio world, they can't see you doing that.
I know they can't. I know, but that's the greatest thing about it.
All right, you guys, in the radio world, I'm going to talk to you about Vincent Jenna, a truly authentic and gifted psychic medium with the knowledge and experience of psychotherapists and the big charming personality of a showman. And oh, yes, he does. You know, I've messed around enough. I'm just going to bring you on, sweetheart, because I can go through the whole formal bio, but I know. Just bring it on, babe.
It's boring, the bio. The bios are boring. It's the live thing that matters. But I do have to say something, Sue. First of all, thank you so much for having me, but I think you got to tell me this and what it means. Your clarity with Sue, but nobody sees this. Your background is blurred.
because it's something... a library back there, and they're going to be looking at all my books.
Okay.
Yeah, I love it. Yeah.
Oh, are you hiding the books?
I'm hiding the books, but not your books, sweetheart. You get where I'm going with this, right?
Okay, I love it. Absolutely. I thought that was funny for the listeners are watching it.
I know it is. They're why is the background blurry? Well, because you'd be paying attention to the library instead of my guest.
Because the background doesn't matter. It's what's in the foreground that matters. That's what's
right.
Important. And that Sue is in the foreground.
So I'm kissing the book.
Oh, I love
it. The secret that's holding you back. Let's get to know you. The audience, they know this. I want to bring you on. And obviously, you've got an absolutely beautiful personality. So let's get to know your why. How did this all start?
Well, I became a psychic medium back when I was about 28 years old. It was an intention to be able to help a friend. I didn't know how to help him. At that time, I was a professional singer, actor, and dancer. And of course, my greatest claim to fame is that I was in the movie Grease with John Travolta and Olivia Newton-John. So yes, yay, right? So I had no idea on how to counsel or help any of my, you know, you talk with your friends, basically. But I had this one friend who used to be my enemy and my greatest bully in school. And he became my friend at our 10-year high school reunion, believe it or not. And so his life was just, you know, going down in the can. And I just knew it internally. I knew it intuitively. He was not one to share anything with anybody. He would always be the one to tell you when you say, so how are you doing? You get those two people that one, they tell you all the horrible things going on in their lives. And then the other one who brags like anything. Yeah. Well, he just did nothing but brag. And it was wanting to help him that this ability came to me after I made a begging plea to God to give me some abilities to be able to help him and people like him. So the psychic mediumship opened up inside of me. The book comes from my 40 years of spending time with thousands of people from all over the world. And I also went back to school after I was a psychic medium because I figured if I was getting in the human brain and mind and manipulating and finding out all the dark details, I wanted to make sure that I wasn't hurting anybody and I was doing it right. So I got my BA in psychology, my master's in clinical social work. And so, yes, so that means I'm psychic and psycho.
I love it.
I am both. Yes, legitimately. And so what happened is I was looking at everybody in life and wondering, okay, we are promised the ability to create anything we want, to be able to fulfill our dreams, Sue, right? We're always told that. And we were told that even before Tony Robbins existed, you know, way back when. Go after your dreams. And people naturally did it, but not everybody was achieving them. Matter of fact, the majority of people weren't. They were either hitting blocks. They would only get some success.
You mean things were holding them back?
Things were holding them back. Exactly. Oh, God, I got to take you with me everywhere. Okay. You be there. You'll be like Vanna White and you hold my book in the background and going, you know, this is it. I love it. Right. Exactly. And so I was doing research and study from the moment I became a psychic medium and being in school, studying psychology, I needed to know why so many people were not able to tap into the law of attraction or manifest the way we were promised. And it turns out that what I discovered is that there are natural anomalies that go on in the human brain that actually happen to protect us, but we're unaware of that. And it blocks, though, those creating abilities. Because if you just think of the psychology of the human brain, fine, its protection is defense mechanisms that Freud came up with, suppression, repression, denial. It pushes the negative out of the way. Yep. But where does it push it? It doesn't push it to your neighbor. It doesn't push it to the safe box that you keep in your house and store away somewhere. It gets pushed down into the recesses of your own mind. Why does that matter? Now you're an adult, so forget what's in the recesses.
Well, it's the mind and the body. You don't want that energy stuck in the body either. Diseases,
thank you, because that
right?
is in the book. It's going to come out some way. Because why? Because we're energies. We're spiritual beings having a physical experience. What the heck does that mean? We're energies having a physical experience. And in science that we know, energy manipulates matter. And so we are controlling not only our bodies, but what we wind up attracting in the world as well. And the law of attraction and the force, whatever you want to call it, is connected to the unconscious mind, not the conscious mind. So all that garbage that's in your unconscious mind is what's getting in the way. And I found that out and discovered it with the thousands of people that I work with privately. And thus my book, I needed people to work on the core most important elements of your life to work on.
Yes. Okay, you know? Wait a minute. Let's put a pin in this because people are like subconscious, conscious. They've heard me talk about it, but because I use the analogy, the iceberg effect.
Yes, totally. That's
so much. Yes. Why don't you unpack that for us?
Well, here is the thing about that. The reason why the iceberg model was used to represent the human mind is because in reality, only 2-5% of the human mind is in conscious awareness, just like that iceberg, the small piece that's above the surface. which means 95 to 98% of your mind is in unawareness, below the surface. So people, I love it because people always are walking around. I know myself. I know what I like. I know my dislikes. You have no idea who I am. And let me tell you something. It's easier for a psychic to know you than it is for you to know you, because 95 to 98% of your mind, you have no idea what's going on in there. There's all this chatter and stuff and negative stuff and why it matters. It's just like, okay, so now we've got the here and now, pay attention to now, mindfulness. All these new thought, new age practices are making you focus on your conscious 2 to 5%. That is great. That's what you're supposed to do. So that way you don't get through life and wonder, wait, what happened? It's like driving and you're driving home from work that you've been doing, but you're not doing that anymore if you're working from home. But you get home and you go, how did I get here? Right? It becomes automatic. Well, mindfulness keeps the automatic from happening. But what's most important about paying attention to the here and now is to pay attention to what you're thinking and what you're feeling. Mm-hmm. There is still stuff going on under the surface. I don't care how.
Under the hood, brothers and sisters. Under the hood. Look under the hood.
Under the hood. Oh, I love that. Under the hood. Under the hood or in the hood.
Well, you can have a suism. You can borrow a suism.
Yes, you
under
can.
The hood.
Under the hood. I love, and so much nonsense is going on under the hood. And so you need to bring it all to the surface as manifesting beings that we are in order to heal it all. And it's like the way
but
I
it
like
is, it's scary work though. And I say that with an adjective to describe. I don't, and I put a big fat disclaimer because it's just the contrast, right?
The whole reason why it's
fear, baby.
Depressed, okay, is because of how painful and scary it is. Yep. The two highest functions.
What, you mean the unknown?
No. We've got to talk about that. Hold on. Right. We do not fear the unknown. Hold on to that. We do not fear the unknown. That is a misnomer and misclaimer, but I want to come back to that.
Got it. Pin.
Okay. So, I'll start with that right now because I've totally forgot what I was going to say.
Bring it.
Okay.
The unknown is
question. Okay. All right. This is hysterical that we constantly say the fear of the unknown. All right. Why does a 2-year-old or a 3-year-old toddler who first is learning to walk would walk right in the middle of the street? Why would he do that? What do you think, Sue?
He just doesn't know what he doesn't know.
He doesn't know he can get hurt.
Yeah, doesn't know what he doesn't know.
Wait.
But as adults, though, we've got the pre-program.
You know that you can get hurt. No,
yes.
You know you can get hurt from the evidence of other people getting hurt. So
yes, external environments, right?
So we don't fear the unknown. We fear the possibility of the known. We fear what could happen.
Put
not
a pin in that. Wait, okay. Vincent, you got to say that again, sweetheart.
Okay. We do not fear what we don't know. We fear what we think could happen or has happened. That's what it is. That's what we fear. We fear the known. We fear the past evidence. We fear all of that stuff. Prior to that, we have no fear whatsoever. Humans have to be conditioned into being afraid. Nobody knew when they were coming out of the cave that when they went up to the bear or they went up to that animal and the wolf that they were going to get eaten until the guy got eaten. And the people in the cave are watching and going, oh, my Lord, we're not going out there with those animals. Right. So until then, they didn't fear that. So it's not the fear of the unknown.
So we talked about the fear of the unknown and also based on the circumstances of our past and also trying to control the future, correct?
It is. It's more about the circumstances of our past. So now I remember the point that I was getting. You were talking about the difficult work it is and why it's so hard to go down in there. And I'll tell you why. It's actually easier to become the president of the United States. Well, that's really easy. Okay. It's easier to become a CEO of a company than it is to do this work. And I'll tell you why. When I became a psychotherapist, one of the things that they taught the therapists and all the counselors is that, you know, it's really difficult for clients to come and get therapy. And that's why so many of them don't go. And when we study the reasons why, it turns out because people are deadly afraid to find out that their deepest fears about themselves are true. Now, let's refer to my book a minute. I divided the brain into the natural brain that Freud divided it into was now the conscious, the subconscious, and the unconscious mind. Carl Jung, his greatest student, labeled the unconscious mind the superconscious mind, because that truly, he believed, is where we're connected to a collective unconscious, the mind of God, the soul's mind that has all the answers. So that's the super part down there. I divided the brain even more so, okay, into the conscious, the subconscious, the adult-made mind, where you harbor the defense mechanisms. There you go. Great picture.
Right there.
And then the environment-made mind, where you harbor all your negative self-beliefs. And the environment-made mind, the brain winds up creating first to get all those negative beliefs. So now people are afraid to go deep because they think they're going to get stuck at that environment-made mind where you're harboring the beliefs of, I'm not good enough, I'm not smart enough, I'm not pretty, I'm not lovable, I'm not deserving, I'm not worthy. They think that's the truth about who they are because they're so far removed from the soul's mind and the superconscious mind that's telling them, no, you're magnificent, you're divine, you're incredible.
So I have a question.
Yes,
with that, that fear, but isn't there also, because I'm speaking from personal experience.
Go ahead.
The fear of, well, if I change, they're not going to like me anymore. They're not going to love me anymore.
Right. Understand that still comes. If you, having read my book, you understand I like to bring things down to the most common denominator.
You are speaking my language.
That's right. You've got to heal the point of hurt. The whole reason why you would even believe that they won't like me if I change is because of all the work you had to do as a child to attain love to start with. Okay?
Audience, did you hear that? It's all based on a fear from the past or unresolved, I can say, issues as a big umbrella.
Well, it's the fear of belief. But really, we only have a few negative self-beliefs, and actually only one when you bring it straight down to the common denominator. So the belief of I'm not good enough, or I'm not smart enough, or I'm not worthy enough still brings us down to the most common denominator, which means and translates to I'm not lovable.
And we bring in all these other adjectives to describe our emotions and stuff.
Go up rather than down. So here's the two bottom line emotions. The first one was love. We were created from love. We all felt love. Bingo, that's the way it started. The moment we separated from our highest source, God, whatever you want to call it, our greatest being, who we are, there was fear. Mm-hmm. It's now love and fear, the fear that I'm not lovable, okay? Now, every negative emotion that we feel today has evolved from the feeling of fear. Every positive emotion that we experience today has evolved from the feeling of love. So it's not a matter of that we brought it in. It actually evolved upward. It evolved outward and upward from those two common emotions. And so when you say that I have the fear of changing because people may not like me, you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. And by the way, that is also a fear that's stated in the Bible by Jesus. And that's one of the spiritual leaders. And
The spiritual leaders, yes. And it's universal to me. The audience knows it could be sort
of. Absolutely.
And they know I say it could be purple chopsticks, my loves. If that's where it's going to be for source for you, have at it.
But the thing is, why was it written?
Why things
were written that were pointed out that way for any spiritual leader, and it's not even religious, it doesn't even have, we turned it into a religion, by why things were written, what kind of try to get us messages that came across. And he had fears himself that we don't look at. We totally translate a total different way. He had the fear of change, which was one of the true meaning of the temptations he had from the devil. It was his devils. It was his inner demons before he went on to help people, right? And right. Gandhi had the same thing. Martin Luther King had the same fears. Junior, he had all these initial fears because the story was so early on that we feared that we weren't going to be good enough, we weren't going to be lovable. And so therefore, if I do my work and I do it like this, well, think of what you have to do when you were growing up at home. And you were told, clean your room, you got to clean your room, you got to do good in school. There was all of these expectations on you, which is normal. But then as you're growing up as a child, wouldn't you be thinking, well, I get positive attention when I'm doing the right things. I get negative attention when I'm not doing the right things. So that must mean I got to do all these right things. I got to make sure.
Well, wait a minute. There's a contrast. You get more attention when you're doing the wrong things because somebody's
yelling
at
you. Well, you get negative attention.
Negative attention.
You get negative attention.
Yeah.
And sometimes if you get no attention at all, that is the reason why children would do negative things, because negative attention to them is just as important than it's positive if they don't get positive. So yes, and we do that as humans now, as adults. As adults, we still do the same thing.
Adults. I love
Wait,
it.
Adults, right?
As adults. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
For a second, I thought I heard you say adults, but that's all right.
Oh, no, all right. Oh,
it's a play on words.
Well, let me tell you something. According to the way the adults are living today and acting today, they can be adults. I don't know.
I think we just made up a new word.
We did.
It's beautiful. Well, you know what, Benny, why don't we take a quick commercial break? We're still going to be live on YouTube for those of you who are watching us live. Hi, nice to see you. For those of us joining us on the radio world, we're going to take about a 3-minute break and we'll be right back. This is Sue with Clarity with Sue. Hey there, everyone. Sue here with Clarity with Sue. You also know me as the host and creator of the Gratitude Cafe. Please sign up for the newsletter so we can stay in touch. All you got to do is go to claritywithsue.com, sign up for the newsletter. And I am creating vitality, abundance, and resilience. I want you to win in life and to reclaim, rediscover, redesign the authentic and genuine you. If that sounds juicy and yummy, come over, let's have a conversation, sign up for the newsletter and or the coaching program and the C2C live online program. Again, that's claritywithsue.com.
Alternative Talk 1150 is your sports organization's safe bet when it comes to airing your team's games. Our players are all seasoned professionals when it comes to sports programming. Imagine your games being heard on local radio. Your team deserves the MVP treatment. Call 425-653-1150 today to learn how affordable and fun it is to broadcast your games on the radio. Call 425-653-1150 and make your next season something special. That's 425-653-1150.
Every person with a disability deserves equity in education, employment, and their community. Sherwood Community Services takes pride in serving all people with disabilities and their families since 1957, including in rural areas and non-native English-speaking communities. Sherwood provides service in Snohomish, Skagit, and Island counties. Sherwood is open for referrals for telehealth and virtual support for children and adults with disabilities. To find out more, visit SherwoodCS.org. Sherwood, believing in abilities.
Alternative Talk 1150. It's good for what ails you. This statement has not been evaluated by the FDA.
I love what Benny picks out all the time. He's great.
I do
He's
too.
Great.
It's so
thank you.
Good.
Thank you.
I love it too. We love Benny big time. All right. The secret that's holding you back. Say that to yourself I mean, ask the question. So, and Vincent, when I'm educating and the audience as well, and when I'm doing my gigs and stuff, there could be affirmations, there could be book titles. I always encourage, ask, lovely, gently push them towards. What is holding you back? Like if it's an affirmation, it's not just an affirmation. You know, you were talking about the core values, the core essence of who you mm-hmm. are, some of my language as well. If there's an affirmation, a book title, and it really resonates with you, ask the question if that's how you truly and authentically, genuinely want to show up and be, right? So with yours, asking the question, what is holding you back? Guess what? The answers are right here in Vincent's little gem of a book, right?
Thank you. That's great. Yes. I do. What I do specifically in the book is first I tell in the first few chapters, I give some stories of some client readings that I had.
Which is important because it sets the foundation, right?
Yeah. Well, yes, I wanted to do that so that people begin to understand the different areas of their lives that they could have maladaptive negative self-beliefs about. And with those client stories, I totally illustrated some of those internal beliefs that they didn't even know they had. And that's one of the reasons why you go to a psychic. You just don't go to find out, am I getting that job that I'm applying for? In actuality, when you come to me, I'm going to be telling you not just about the job that you're applying for if you're going to get it, but why aren't you getting the job that you really deserve? Why aren't you going after your dream? Why are your finances still in trouble? Why is your health so bad? Because when you get to the core, again, of what's causing the problem and what's getting in the way and what's holding you back, then you eliminate that, then there's nothing holding you back. And at the very bottom of the book on the back, what do I say? I say, become unstoppable. What's holding you back? Nothing, because you can become unstoppable once you remove those blocks, once you understand what is getting in your way and holding you back.
Oh, Vincent, you're speaking my language. You really are. And I've got to advocate for the audience. I'm sure you've heard this too. You don't know what you don't know. And they're in the rabbit hole and spinning out. They just don't have the capacity to know, to understand that there is even something going on. That's too much work. Or no, I've
right.
They just don't have those glasses on. They just don't have that capacity.
I said, Sue, it's because of what the brain is doing.
Yes.
If the two eyes functions, one to keep us alive, two to protect us in order to keep us alive. Okay. So if the protective part of the brain is another word we use for two words, coping skills, coping. Yep. A coping mechanism. And we have those coping mechanisms and those protective mechanisms. We know physically what it does, you know, like that fight and flight syndrome type of stuff. Well, the brain kicks into gear when it's trying to protect you and get your butt out of there when the animal is chasing you or some danger is coming along, right? Get out of there. That's a protective mechanism. Even a fever is a protective mechanism. Your body purposely raises your brain. I mean, purposely raises your body temperature to make it an unlivable environment for the bacteria or the virus that's inside of you. So that's why you have fevers.
And fighters.
So what will it do when you have emotional pains? Well, it has to protect you from it. Now, you can tell the people that don't have these strong coping or defensive mechanisms working, or as in my book, I say strong adult-made mind beliefs, because those are the people that are walking around with some kind of mental pathology, depression, anxiety, panic disorder, any of that stuff means that their coping skill levels were down and weakened in some way. As a psychotherapist, what did we used to do? We actually used to build up cognitive behavioral therapy and different types of modalities like that help to build up and reinforce the coping skills. But here is the problem with that. That's all well and good if you just want to survive. And I'm telling everybody who's listening right now, you do not need me. And actually, you don't even need Sue if you just want to survive. You'll figure it out. As a matter of fact, they have a whole television show that was based on just surviving. They do it on TV. You could do it too in life, right? Whether you're in a loincloth or whether you're homeless, it doesn't. Homeless people survive. They're out there begging. They're making money. But if you want to thrive, if you want to believe that there's more to life than that, that we deserve more than that, that we're more than physical beings, anything that makes you want to believe you deserve more, should have more, could have more, can have more, are more, then you need to understand the philosophies and the methodologies and the things that are happening that keep you from having more. And that's why it is so difficult walking around today. Sue, you look at life, just look, just take locally, just anywhere you live in the country or the world right now, okay? Just look around you locally and see what's going on and the stress that is going on. It is so difficult for people today, Sue, to believe that there is any more than this.
Yep.
Right? This is all this struggle, all this hate, all this crime, all this disaster, natural disaster. That how do you walk around then and keep ohming and you're walking and nothing is going to bother you? You can't walk
around. That's not realistic.
No, it's not. And let me tell you something. I love the Dalai Lama. He's absolutely magnificent. But do you know that he was able to develop those spiritual beliefs by being on top of a mountain? In the Andes, secluded from everything. Yes, his country had attacked, but he was always in his temple and up there. And it's so much easier with all the monks and all those people around you to develop those spiritual abilities. Do not look at your spiritual leaders today and think, well, I can't be that way. I can't be like him. I didn't have an experience. I get it. You're in the middle of the garbage. You're in the middle of the negative. And I'm still telling you that you can change your life. Because guess what? I was in the middle of the negative, okay? I was in the middle of the negative, right there.
We're still doing it, right? We're in the work and we're still unpacking.
I was
walking the talk.
Completely abused until I was 17 years old by the kids in school, my parents at home, and that included not just emotional, it included physical abuse, and it included sexual abuse as well. So I know until today, after doing this work, I still hear little Vincent wanting to say, you're not good enough. You're not going to get anything you want. So I understand the work, but let me tell you the difference between me and most other people. I hear that voice out loud, which means I can then control it.
Vincent, we got to tell the audience right there. That was a really good superpower, because what he's doing is he's staying in that state of awareness. That voice, he has that awareness. And you guys have heard me talk about that's a number one. You've got to have the awareness, the drunk monkey or whatever's coming up for you, the worthiness, the lack of all of that.
That's really that inner voice. And it actually, I simplify it, Sue, by saying it's really your child. It's your inner child's mind. Because if we really think about it, that's where most of the damage occurred. We only compounded as adult because what we're attracting in. So bad relationships, you're not creating new bad self-beliefs. You're compounding old ones, because the whole reason why you attracted the bad relationship to start with is because of the way you believe about yourself as being unlovable.
And then you've got all these chemical reactions and dramas and all
absolutely
this stuff.
Absolutely.
Let's go to habits and the practice, because the audience knows, and I've heard you speak to this, because this is really important. When that voice from the past, when that voice of fear, when that voice of your inner child comes up, you have to have a practice that's already in place, right? To change that habituation to
that's heal. The reason why I put them in my book. First of all, I do want to say, Sue, you want that voice to come up. Do not suppress it.
Thank you.
Do not push it under, because and in my book, I also leave five reasons why we become ill. And the first one is unresolved, suppressed negative emotions will come out in some form of biological disaster on your body, be it a cancer, be it a disease of any kind, be it pain, fibromyalgia. I don't care what you get, even an automobile accident. If you are feeling negative about yourself, you can absolutely set up a negative vibration around you. And
don't
you can
do that. that. Don't do that, audience.
You can find that hole that you can step in, that proverbial hole. Remember, you know, you know those negative people. You
R-A-S. Hear them, oh,
everything I touch and wherever I go, I'm going to find the hole and break my leg or something disastrous is going. And you always tell them, well, stop thinking that way because you're going to cause it. This is true because
it's true. Stop the Eeyore syndrome. Okay.
So you do want to feel that. You do want that coming up. And then the next thing you want to do is grab hold of it and take control of it. So when I hear little Vincent, I hear him turn around because for example, if I'm going to be on this show, oh, it's not going to go well. Nobody's going to like you. And I go, stop. I have to be aware. This is where mindfulness is important. Stop. All right, I just heard you say something negative to me, and then I have to replace that negative thought. No,
you have the three R's, don't you?
That's one of my exercises is the three R's. Replace. Tell me what the other ones are. Do you?
I can't replace. Rehearse.
No, it's review.
Review.
Reinforce. Right.
That's it.
We forgot the first one. Review, replace, and reinforce. So review. This is before the voice comes up. We talked about when the voice comes up. So you can go to the second two then. So you take the negative as we hear it and replace it with a positive. No, that is not true, Vincent. You know that you've done. How many of these interviews have you done? And you've done so well on it. People really like you, honey. And you're really good. And you don't have to worry about it. Just be yourself. Everybody is going to love you. Then you reinforce by constantly bringing up, whether it be continuously that day or the next day. Look what happened today. You did so well today. What? How great. Sue loved you. And everybody in the audience thought that you were the best absolute host, guest that they have ever had on your show. You know that you can embellish a little bit if you want.
Absolutely embellish. And audience, if you've lost us in that whole conversation, we're talking about loving on yourself. When that
loving
inner child,
yourself.
that old past, that fear, that doubt, that worth, that worthiness, worthlessness comes up, you got to stop. First, you got to be really aware and mindful that it's coming up. You don't want to suppress it. You want it to come up and out. Just look at it as the observer. Just allow it and replace it. Vincent's talking about, he's got some tips and tools in his latest book. And he was just referring to his three R's, which was also a practice that he does and recommends in his book. And these
absolutely.
Three R's, review, replace, reinforce.
And reinforce. Yes. And the replace and the reinforce go hand in hand. And people tell me all the time, and you always hear this at Thanksgiving time, right? Tell me if I'm right about this, where you'll see people posting on Facebook and different social media. You know, there are people in the world that don't have anything to be thankful for. They've had such a hard time in life. I understand that, and I don't want to take that away, but there is no such thing as not having a reason to be thankful. If you are breathing and you still have the capacity to think, you've got two of the greatest reasons right there to be thankful for yourself, because guess what? It means your soul sees you as being worthy and knows you're worthy and is giving you more time to go after and see those things. And if you're listening, if you have no money, no relationships, your health is bad, but you decide to listen to Sue's show and you decide to listen or buy my book or anything else, do you understand what that's saying about you? It means you know there's hope for yourself. Otherwise, you wouldn't even be paying attention to that. And even those who are in a desperate way, there's ways to get help to get you. So there's always a way to replace the negative with no matter what. And especially, you're not all criminals listening here. I don't think they would allow you to listen to Sue while you're locked up. I mean, but who knows? That would be a good thing, you know.
It would be a good thing.
Absolutely. So there's always a reason to replace a negative self-feeling. I'm no good. Look, we've all made stupid mistakes, and we can call them stupid. I saw a meme once on a church sign that I thought was great. Yes, everything happens for a reason. And sometimes the reason is you made a stupid choice. I was like, because we are humans and we're going to make those choices because that's how we grow and learn.
Well, Vince, with making a stupid choice, because I think it's really important to put at least for me, there's no emotional charge for me when I'm finicky about language and how I language for myself. Yeah. And as like you. So with the word stupid, there's no emotional charge that is associated with that, because I don't want that to be another thing that goes into your nervous system or your BODY that says,
why? I question you on that, because we say to ourselves, that was stupid. We say that all the time. That was stupid. So why?
No,
so
I don't, though. I don't. Ooh, you let's don't. Do this. People let's. Do. I don't. But
that's
other people do, because
you.
I've changed the language.
I don't want to, because you've done so much work. I don't want this to be that this is only for those who are on the, you know, the warm,
lovey. Oh, gotcha. Okay.
These are negative beliefs that we have about ourselves that we have to face. Here is the thing, and this is the truth. In the spiritual realm, in the big scheme of things, there is nothing so terrible that you could have done that cannot be forgotten, forgiven, and moved on from. And I'm talking about the worst of the worst. You know, people always ask me, and people aren't going to like, you know, this part either. You know, you believe in the other side and you get to the other side, you're going to see some people there you didn't expect to see, because there is no hell. We live hell here. I'm a medium. I talk on the other side all the time to them. This is where the hell is. Even though they're still learning over there, and those people who did make lower choices, and Sue, in this new thought, new age kind of movement, they are very quick to not want to use those. So they won't even use the word mistake. It's lower choice. And I'm sitting here going, damn hell no. People have made some real stupid lower choices. You know, when you go out and party and you're drunk on your butt and you get into the car to go driving, that was not just a lower choice. That was stupid. Okay. And what does the word stupid mean? It means without intellectual thought. That's all it is. And we put so high of a value on these words. That's the reason why we don't even want to admit the mistakes that we've made.
That's the contrast right there, right?
Yes, we feel so terrible about it. So I actually try to even make a joke out of it to lighten up the feeling. Like I said, there is nothing that we can do so terribly wrong. That's why people don't want to fear. That is the greatest, going back to your original question, that is the greatest reason why people are afraid to do this work, because they don't want to look at themselves as feeling so terrible. I'm a piece of garbage. Look at what I've done. And I'm telling everybody right now, I don't care what you've done. You can never be a piece of garbage, because you were created from something greater. Now, you can make some choices and do some behaviors that are like that, but you as a being are not garbage. You're valuable. You're worthy. Whether your choices were stupid, whether they were high.
You're saying, Vincent, is so juicy and sexy and beautiful. Because it's like, and I've been talking about this on the show for a couple of years now, it seems, it's like a big fat permission slip. You have the power. Okay. Yes. You see the contrast. Yes. You've seen the stupidness or the worthlessness, whatever the language is that you're going to use, my lovely ones, myself and Vincent, we're saying the same thing, that look at it, lean into it, and also heal from it, bring it up and out.
That's right. And the only way to heal what needs to be healed is by recognizing and seeing it. It would be like
seeing it for what it is. Don't put a Band-Aid on it.
Yeah, don't.
And you have the power to do this, my loves. That's the exciting thing.
That's right. And you got the tools. And that's what my book was made for, is to give you the tool to do that and not be afraid to go in there. Because I have a group from, like, when you buy the book and you read it, come to my Facebook group, The Secret That's Holding You Back. People are sharing there, and they're sharing the most emotional things that are coming to the surface. Wow. And I'm sitting there going, okay, you're thinking that that's such a dark night coming out of you. What is so dark about it? It's the feeling that you're thinking of. It's not the truth of who you are. It is just a feeling, because of the thought that was implanted in your brain because of the negative messages you received from the environment. It is not truth. None of the choices you made in your life are a definition of who you are. They're more of a definition of how you feel about yourself. That is the bottom line. So the better you feel about yourself, the better the choices are going to be, the better the outcomes are going to be, the more you're going to be manifesting. And so there's where it starts. And this type of work you can do. And now here's what I love about my book now, because of the reviews I'm getting. People are just starting the book. They'll get to the first exercise, like the 3R exercise is one of the first exercises I put in there. And all of a sudden, they're having these incredible aha moments. Oh my gosh, even before they get to the exercise, realize that they never really believed what they thought they believed.
Yes.
Replace it with what they want to believe and truly do believe now. And they're seeing changes overnight. This one woman wrote me, and this is just an example. She wrote me and said, I read your book. I started to do the work. I didn't even finish it. The next day, I got a phone call getting my dream job and an increase in salary because I finally believed I deserved it after doing your work in your book.
Right there.
How instantaneous the results are.
And it is such a profound release of energy when you do that, because audience, for the radio, you can't see us, but we're both just hallelujah, brothers and sisters. Hallelujah. I mean, it is, because of course she had that immediate.
I know. Are we allowed to say the word orgasm on your radio show?
Yes.
Okay, just
bring on
sure,
the body orgasm, heart
Benny,
orgasm.
Benny, did you just
yes, the juicy stuff? Like
no, that? You're good on that one. It's a medical term. You're good.
Yeah, all right, listen to me. Now, this is hard press for people. Okay, the physical orgasm was actually created because the animal kingdom, other than us, do not feel orgasms the way we do. When they're doing and they're copulating and mating, it's strictly chemical related in order to produce. For us, it's physical. It's a feeling to complement the emotional feeling we're supposed to be feeling about ourselves, not just the love that we're sharing, but the love that we're giving. I will tell you this right now. When you do this work and you start achieving, it is as climatic and even better than the physical orgasm. The physical orgasm only limits to the body. When you have an emotional and a spiritual orgasm, there is nothing greater than that. And I will tell you, going after this, achieving, even if it's a small thing, even if it's a matter of the dream job, but there's nothing small in our lives. That's what's incredible about this. You will feel such euphoria and an orgasm that lasts you a lifetime. Because
and hold on to that feeling. Keep going.
Hold on to it.
Do the three R's with that orgasm.
Yes, absolutely. I love it. You're actually feeling the godness, the spirit, the divinity inside of you when you do this work. That's the reason why I continue doing my work, because I am having orgasms on stage and online all the time. And it's even without porn.
I love it. Yeah, we don't need porn. No.
No.
Heart orgasms, we don't need any of that. Heart orgasms, brain orgasms, energy orgasms, all the stuff we segued. But it's a great conversation to have because if you truly want a life full of juicy vitality and abundance that's for you, authentic and genuine for you, get the tools right here, right here. Vincent's baby.
There you go. I love it. Sue,
right
you're great. You're great about it. But yes, but I want, okay, look, this isn't about selling a book, okay? I don't want people to think that that's all I care about is selling my book. It's about giving a message that can transform your life.
Yep.
Transform. That's what I want to be able to help with, is transformation.
Being of service. That's why you brought this to the forefront, is being of service.
I did. I want, because I know you can.
And
I want everybody to get the feeling of what I'm talking about now, that orgasm, that whatever you want to call it, that euphoria, that understanding and touching your divinity, your godness. I mean, I have done shows and events where people are hysterical, crying, coming up to me and saying, you made me feel my own God within me. And it's like the first time that they've ever felt that. And I said, okay, what does that feel like? Doesn't that make you feel incredible? and now they want to continue and they want to bring
it. They have the Moors.
Yes. Neil Donald Walsh wrote in Conversations with God, book one, and I love this and have followed this ever since. God says to Neil, I truly wish every one of you on earth were truly selfish. Because if you were, and you were only thinking of yourself, you would automatically think and do for others because of how incredible it makes you feel. And it really is. Everybody, when we use the word selfish today, they're only thinking about themselves.
Oh, there's a whole connotation.
They're not even thinking about themselves. It's only a defense mechanism that's kicking in, and it makes it seem like that's all they care about, but they're not. All the people you see acting in the world today and acting out and lashing out at people, and they're saying, I got to protect myself. They're not protecting themselves. They're actually truly harming themselves more than anything else because they feel worse afterwards. They feel like Cain in the Bible, Cain and Abel, right? They feel like that's what happens again.
Well, wait, Vince, because you just did a paradigm shift with the audience there because of that conversation. There's a shift in mentality that's got to happen with that word, right?
Go ahead.
Well, meaning when you, it's like, it's almost as if you dropped a bomb on it and said, well, wait a minute, if I have to be selfish.
Yes.
Because, as a society, it's got selfishness has such a negative connotation.
Exactly, but it is not the true word.
Exactly.
A theorist and a psychologist, and I forgot his name because I learned this so long ago, like 40 years ago, that there is no such thing as a selfless act. There can't be. There is no such thing. Everything that we do, and what I really want people to get over too, oh God, okay.
We can keep going for another
hour. All right,
listen,
Sue. Okay, this is where I have a real hard time with, okay?
Okay.
When we think we're here to do service because of a higher force, that it has nothing to do with us, we're only here to, as a matter of fact, there is a religion, even Buddhism does focus on the idea of you're here to do service. No, you are not. Okay, now, Benny, that just threw off his red spikes were going like this.
Oh, he's used to it with me.
By the way, it's Dr. Bill Crawford, by the way, I believe is who you're speaking about.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Wow,
thank you, Benny.
That is good for you.
Boom. Yeah, he just typed it up for us. Just got a couple minutes, sweetheart.
All right, here it is. You are here for you and you alone to experience your greatness. And when you do that, you then want to experience unity, which is right in line with the next step. And unity is with your brothers and sisters here. You will bring it out. You will help them. You will do everything that they might need, you will need, because that's who you are. And that's who we are as divine beings. So
here's a Sueism for you, Vince. Here's a Sueism. I say this so much because it encapsulates exactly what you're saying. Loving me is loving you is loving us.
That's it. It's totally, because we're all one. So let's start doing that. But you've got to start with, what did your first word? Loving me.
Loving me, baby.
Loving me.
Loving me is loving you is loving us, right?
Oh, that is beautiful.
Right? Sueism, honey.
Oh. You know, we just went through the 60s just now and we did it without any dope. Right?
I want another hour with you, sweetheart. This has been amazing.
I know, I love you too, Sue.
Such a blessing. All right, you guys, we're going to wrap it up for today. If you want to get a copy of the show, which you should, you want to give us a 6, 8, 10 star rating, SoundCloud, iTunes, you should. Let me know what you think. Ask any questions and I can answer them. Of course, I can send them over to Vince if you'd like. We'd love to hear from you. And Vince, so thankful for you. So appreciate you. And keep standing in the rink and loving and giving everybody these tips and tools and permission to be their greatest self.
And I will. All they do is have to come to my website at vincentjenna.com. And that's with a G-E-N-N-A. And they can reach me from all places.
All over. And if you guys are driving, just go to Sue. Clarity with Sue, and it's going to be in the newsletter, all that information. All right. Until next time, each of you are a gift. Get out there and share yourself with the world. That spark and we take off. Yeah, we'll be flying. We're here, a brand new gear to show what we got.